Is shunning something that should be practiced?
No, that's a great question.
You ever seen The Office with Dwight shuns Andy?
Oh, yeah.
Shun. Unshun answers him. Re-shun.
he came out of those. He doesn't ever say that he came from an Amish background, but it sure looks like it.
Yeah. Well, we do see where the Amish get the idea of shunning.
Yeah.
Here in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3.
That's right. Yep. You're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And I'll get started in verse 1. So finally, dear brothers and sisters, we're closing off 2 Thessalonians today. So tomorrow we'll be in 1 Timothy. But
that's one of my favorite books.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a great book. So finally, dear brothers and sisters, we ask you to pray for us. Pray that the Lord's message will spread rapidly and be honored wherever it goes, just as when it came to you. And I hope you sense that from the bridge. In fact, sometimes, Junior, you know this, we've been criticized for that because we are so eager to reach the lost. We are eager to grow. And yet we get that from the New Testament. That was Jesus. That was Paul here. His eagerness is to see the kingdom of God expanded. That's what we are supposed to be all about as a church.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny when people criticize. It's like, do you really think we're going to stand before Jesus one day and he's going to say, you guys are just a little too...
Yeah, you were too aggressive.
Too aggressive to get the lost. He's not going to say that.
Pray, too, that we will be rescued from wicked and evil people. Not everyone is a believer. I guess that's an understatement. But the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you and guard you from the evil one. And we are confident in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we commanded you. May the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. And now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow the tradition they received from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. In other words, stay away from lazy people. Don't hang out with lazy people.
Yeah.
Wow. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We weren't looking for freebies. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what he's talking about. And that's not the only time he says to stay away from certain people.
Yeah.
He says that.
He's going to in a little bit, too. In fact, when I read this, I didn't even see that part.
Then. Yeah, so, let's get to that part then first. Why don't you pick it up from there then,
Jim? Yeah, is that verse 9?
Yeah.
No, verse 10. Sorry, I need to switch over to the NLT because you and I just got out of a meeting with a sermon meeting.
And we were in the ESV.
And I was in NLT, which is what we read, but when we preach, we preach out of the ESV. So I'm in the sermon meeting and you're like, that's not how it's phrased. Like, I'm in the NLT. I got to go to ESV. Now I'm coming back to the NLT.
And then it was how it was phrased in the ESV too.
It was.
But it may be good for people to even hear as to why, you know, I overheard someone a few days ago talk about how they didn't think the NLT was a good translation, and you know, talking about the translation,
I think the same thing.
Yeah. And I just, you know, I kept quiet.
I'm surprised you kept quiet on that one. I was like, oh, here we go.
But you know, why do we use the NLT when we're doing this daily Bible reading, and then why do we preach out of the ESV? And actually, the ESV is a little tighter to the original Greek. So when you're doing a study, you know, you're making your way through verses, you're tighter to the original Greek text.
And that doesn't make it better.
No.
It can make it valuable in some instances.
Yeah.
But
I think it's better for more of a deep study, yes.
Yeah.
But for readability, the New Living Translation is very accurate, first of all. They had phenomenal scholars who worked on this. It was a team of scholars. This wasn't, you know, like people criticize the Message, and I'm not a crazy Message person either, you know, but it was one guy that just kind of put it in his own language. Whereas the NLT was a team of highly educated biblical scholars who believe in inerrancy, believe the Word of God. Yeah. And so it is an accurate translation.
That's right, yeah.
And we do it for our reading Devo because it's just more readable. It's easier for us to follow.
Well, and as one of my professors said, you know, the best translation of Scripture, the one you're going to actually read.
Yeah, that's right.
So some people are going to read different ones, and it doesn't mean we compete.
Right.
Anyways, verse 10 says, even while we were with you, we gave you this command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat.
Mm.
Do not tell our politicians that. Yet we hear some of you are living idle lives.
Here's the thing. When it comes to that verse, that those that are all into social justice, that's not a passage that they want to ever talk about.
No.
And I think that what's important for us is that we have to walk this line, that there is that we as Christians are to be champions of personal responsibility and teach our people to take responsibility for themselves, but at the same time to be loving and compassionate towards those who are without.
Yeah. It says unwilling, not unable.
Right.
Now, Jesus fed a lot of, healed a lot of unable people.
Yeah.
This is unwilling.
Yeah.
We hear some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business on Facebook. It's not on Facebook, but it could fit really well. That's the junior translation coming out this fall. Meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down, to work to earn their own living. And as for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Mm. Here's where the hook came in verse 14. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we say in this letter. Stay away from them so they will be ashamed. There's the shunning.
Well, but look at verse 15. Yeah.
This verse 15 qualifies it.
Yeah.
Don't think of them as enemies, but warm them as you would a brother or sister.
It's a great principle that, I mean, we are going to become like the people that we hang out with the most. So he's not saying here, shun them. He is saying, though, that they're not the ones that you should be spending time with.
He isn't saying, he says stay away from them, though. Wouldn't that be shun? What's the difference?
I think it's don't hang out with them.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think that's the same
thing. It's not like ignore them.
Yeah. I mean, shunning is essentially ignoring. Unshunned.
Unshunned. So it's not like you're around and I'm going to talk to you. Right. It's just more of like, I'm not going to call you up and hang out because it's just not going to be healthy.
Now, in 1 Thessalonians, I believe it was in 1 Thessalonians, when he said that those who are living immoral lives or sexually impure lives,
don't let them eat with you.
That you're not even to eat with them. That is if they claim to be believers. And we're not talking, he says, we're not talking about lost people because then you'd have to stay away from everybody.
Right.
But people that claim to be Christians and they're living morally impure lives, he's saying they're faking it.
Them. And that, would you say, is still true today?
I think so. It's something that I practice myself, and we practice church discipline in those situations. Yeah. So we believe that, I mean, that's what Jesus said that we're to do, that there are times when we have to say you're no longer part of this fellowship because you, in your life, is demonstrating that your profession is not real.
Sure. And in that
and
case,
that's an
though,
act of love.
It wouldn't be shunning, though. It's still not shunning necessarily. Yeah. It's not like you're turning your back on them.
Right.
But it's more of like, these are the boundaries we have to have right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Verse 16 says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you his peace at all times in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Friend of this so much, it just always cracks me up. Verse 17 is in all caps, as if an old person were writing an email. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting, Paul. I do this in all my letters to prove they are from me, which some say he had larger handwriting because of bad eyesight.
Yeah.
And verse 18, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
It's so personal. This letter is so personal, so practical. And it's great learning for us.
That's right.
Well, let's get over to Proverbs.
It's Proverbs chapter 8.
All right. So Proverbs 8, so much of Proverbs 8 is basically a speech from wisdom saying, hey, you need to get this wisdom. And then he personifies it as though it's wisdom that's talking. We get down to verse 34. I just want to go all the way down to verse 34, where it says, happy are those who listen to me, watching for me daily at my gates, waiting for me outside my home. And I just did this talk with our staff this morning. In fact, I talked about how there are some in Christian circles who say God doesn't want you happy, he wants you holy. As though, I mean, it's a false dichotomy. And like, God created us to be happy. He does. He wants us to enjoy him. So to say that he doesn't want you happy, that's just not true. The problem we as human beings have is we don't know really what's going to make us happy. We think what's going to make us happy is by doing what we feel like doing in the moment. And so he wants us both holy and happy.
The two go together.
They do. And here he is saying that happiness is going to come through wise living.
Yeah.
Now, wise living is the opposite of doing what you feel like doing, because usually to practice wisdom, you have to have good sense and do the right thing, which isn't always the feel-good thing in the moment.
Right.
In fact, oftentimes it's not the good, the feel-good thing. When people follow their feelings, there's just short-term, there may be short-term thrill in that, but it's long-term unhappiness.
Yeah.
And so the real way to happiness is you follow God, do the right thing, fulfill your purpose, and God is the one that provides that joy.
Well, I have like a bit of a, it's not an obsession, but I would say it's like a little secret love for TV shows that show like track people's addictions, whether it's like food addictions or substance addictions.
That's kind of weird.
And my daughters have said, Dad, why do they always say it's so hard? It's so hard. It's like, well, first off, addiction is hard. But second off, if somebody's always giving into their flesh, always saying yes to their flesh, that is not wisdom. And it ends in just crashing your life.
Yeah.
Wisdom is often just saying no to your flesh, sometimes just for the sake of discipline and saying no.
Yeah, it's about habits. Yeah, no doubt about it. And something we have to remember, too, is the way of the transgressor is hard, it says in Psalms.
Yeah.
So that while it may be hard to do the right thing, it's a lot harder in the end to not do the right thing.
Right.
So practicing good wisdom leads to happiness.
That's right. But today is National Zoo Day. So it's starting to get a little bit warmer weather, just a little bit. Maybe get out, enjoy the zoo.
Go to the zoo.
My family loves the zoo. And I love that my wife does this. I think I've said this before in the podcast, but my wife will go and try to point everything to God. Like, hey, girls, look how creative God is with that animal.
That
is
cool.
Why do you think God would give that animal that ability?
And,
it just makes the zoo a lot more of a, I hate to say spiritual experience because that seems so new agey, but in a sense it is because it's like, man, I'm enjoying God's creation around me.
Yeah.
Go enjoy the zoo. Have a good Monday.
Hey, God bless.